I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to a special Red, White and Buffalo Blues podcast, Defend Your Draft. It's the third series and the first one I'm kicking off with Bill. Was it Bill or Billy? How would you like to be called?
Bill, Billy, either one I'm happy with, mate.
So, Bill, thank you for coming on, and actually, and we'll get to your draft in a minute and hear you defend it, and then we'll probably put it out to the public on Twitter, see what they react to it. But first and foremost, obviously, just let us know, how did you become a Bills fan?
Sorry, it was a long old time ago. got to be coming up 15 years, something like that. I watched one of the Patriots-Giants Super Bowls. It was one of the first games that I've watched. And it took me about 5 minutes to realise I didn't like the Patriots and about 10 minutes to realise I didn't like the Giants. So I spent the whole off-season looking at NFL teams and thinking, right, I'm going to pick one next year. And one of the first games on Sky was Bills-Dolphins. And obviously I'd heard of the Dolphins because, you know, Ace Ventura, Miami Dolphins. I knew who they were. Yeah. So I thought, well, I'm going to watch this game. I know who the Dolphins are. I'll probably end up being a Dolphins fan. And I was watching the game, not really sort of understanding much, not cheering for anyone. And CJ Spiller has a blast from the past. Takes a handoff up the left side, up the touchline for about 60 yards. And I'm jumping up and down in the front row. Don't really know what's going on. And I've been a Bills fan from that day, from that moment. And, you know, through thick and thin, here we are today.
CJ Spiller, not your first jersey then?
No, it wasn't. Ryan Fitzpatrick was my first jersey. Okay. Yeah. QB, you know how it is.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think my first one... No, I think my first one was actually a CJ Spiller one, actually. So, yeah. No, it's good. I mean, it's always nice to hear how everyone in the UK actually starts liking getting to know the Bills. And everyone has a different story. So, I mean... Been there through the worst of it, so now we're getting into the good part. So everything's looking forward.
Well deserved success for Bills Mafia. We've been through some stuff.
Yes, all it needs is that final little silver thing around that finger, and then that'll top it off all day long.
One before we die, Matt. One before we die.
We've got about 30 years, 40 years, maybe.
Hopefully sooner than that.
But what we're here to do is we're here to defend your draft. You've sent me over, I think you sent me over, what, three or four? And I had to commit to one of them. Now, looking through all three of them, each of them had their own really good points, different players on there. I especially liked your second one, which you had Abanikanda. If I can pronounce his name right.
Abanikanda. Yeah. He's my guy.
I really liked him as my sleeper pick on there. I feel if we got him, he would take Harris's place next season.
100%.
And be that compliment. 100%. But we've got your third one that you've got it. And we start off at pick 27. You've gone linebacker. Best on the board at the time, or is it a case there with what's happened with Edmonds and the likes we've got, Dodson, Matakevich and Spectre, that was definitely a need that needed to be filled there and there at 27?
Yeah, that was the case. He definitely wasn't the best player on the board, and there was a couple of players that I had in mind that if they were still on the board, they were going to be the pick. So guys like Zay Flowers, if he was on the board, he was going to be the pick. Darnell Wright, if he was on the board, he was going to be the pick. Neither was. So it came down to me between Jack Campbell and Mazi Smith from Michigan. I just think that middle linebacker is the more pressing need. And I understand, you know, we need to get Josh more weapons. We need to be able to compete with the Chiefs and the Bengals and put the same amount of points up that they can when it comes to playoff time. But if we can't stop the run, if you've got just an absolute chasm through the middle of your defense, there's no point in getting Josh any weapons because you can't stop the run. The time of possession is going to be lopsided. Jack Campbell, he's plug and play. I actually prefer Drew Saunders as a player. I just think in our defense, Jack Campbell is the guy that I trust to have the higher floor. Plug and play, you haven't got to be Pro Bowl. You've just got to be 7, 8 out of 10 every week. Do your job. We're not asking for all pro and Pro Bowlers. We've got our Pro Bowl linebacker in Matt Milano. Jack Campbell just has to come in, middle of the defense, do a job, and you know, help the defense get the ball back in Josh's hands.
Yeah, and I think what he's at, he's pretty much the same height and same weight almost as Edmonds. So you've got similar sort of skill set. Was it a case that you just went there, or was Drew Saunders just a little bit further down your board? Because you said you liked him, but is it just the fact that what Campbell can bring as a team player, sideline, sideline range, and a very good tackler, that you just thought, fuck it, let's go for it?
100%. That's what it came down to. So Saunders, I think, has got the higher upside. He's got the higher ceiling. But, you know, we'll win now. We're in the window to go and get our ring, go and get our Super Bowl. I want a guy we can plug and play middle linebacker and, like I say, get, you know, consistent NFL performances from. Saunders might take a little bit of time, especially in our system. He's a guy that I think is better athletically, although Campbell tested well. When you put the tape on, Saunders is sideline to sideline. He's hitting the quarterback. He's doing a lot of stuff that excites you from the position. But for me, it was just about, let's get a guy that can start and play in the center of our defense for the next 5 years. That's all it came down to for me.
And there's definitely no concerns in there with you with any weaknesses they could come up against, or just feel that this defensive secondary and the likes of Milano will be able to hide the inadequacies that he actually has in there with his with obviously being injured early 2022 and obviously actually having a bit of less able to cover tight ends and running backs that much, even though he's got a good sideline to sideline. But you've got Milano there if you need him.
Yeah, that's it. You know, like, we've got Matt Milano, we've got the best safety duo in football. We've got, you know, Trey Wyatt and a really good corner on the other side in Kyrie Elam. We've got, you know, Von Miller and Greg Rousseau off the edge. There's stars on that defensive side of the football for us. I just think it's a guy that, plug and play, put him in. Like I said, we're not expecting you to go and win the game. We're just expecting you to put up reasonable performances and not be the reason that we're losing the game or getting run on for, you know, 250 yards. So for me, it was, you know, you might look at it and go, you're picking scared in the first round. And maybe that's the case. But like I said, if a guy like Zay Flowers was there, he would have been the pick. He wasn't. Bijan Robinson, if he was there, he would have been the pick. Which, you know, I know a lot of Bills fans, they kind of split down the middle, get us Bijan. The other ones are like, why are we spending a first round pick on a running back? Middle linebacker is quite similar. You know, you tend to look at it and go, why am I wasting a first round pick on a middle linebacker? Especially if it's not, you know, a stud like an Edmonds. But for me, I just think we're in that window now where let's get every single starter to be the upper echelon in the NFL. You know, I think Jack Campbell can come in and be straight away one of the better middle linebackers. He's not going to be top tier, might be sort of bottom of the second tier, beginning of the third tier, but that's good enough when you've got the pieces around him that he'll have.
No, exactly. And trade down scenario didn't really apply in this. You were considering it, or you weren't considering it?
Yeah, I was considering it, and I looked at it and I thought, right, Jack Campbell, Drew Saunders, that's where I'm at now with the guys off the board that are off the board. The trades that were in, I think they started with Tampa Bay, so it was sort of in the 50s. I just don't see both of them to getting past 45. So I was looking, if I could have got into the, you know, from 45 up, I might have considered a trade back, but it just wasn't there. And I thought, let's just fix a hole, you know, plug a hole. Yeah. And then we can use the rest of our picks to try and improve the offense.
Yeah. So with round two, you stayed at 59. You've got, out of Iowa, tight end Sam Laporta. Again, was it a need, or was it one that was a draft crush, or was there, again, no other targets available on there?
Yeah, so he wasn't the first guy I wanted. Josh Downs was the guy that I really was hoping would fall to us at 59. He wasn't there. Yeah. The second player I was hoping would be there was Keanu Benton. the big three tech from Wisconsin. Neither of them were there. There was a couple of options. Tank Dell was on the board, and a couple of others. But for me, Sam Laporta, he's one. I think he could be the best receiving tight end of this class when it's all said and done. He was, you know, he led Iowa in receptions the last 2 years. He could be a guy that you look at and go, yeah, he's a tight end, but he's our slot receiver. He's Josh's safety blanket underneath. And we know that Sean McDermott likes that Iowa team. He has a lot of respect for that Iowa school and the program they've got there. So obviously Jack Campbell out of Iowa, double dipping, let's go and get Sam Laporta as well. Another thing that I think we struggle with on offense, we don't have anyone that is dangerous after the catch, right? That's what we struggle with. We struggle with Josh picking up yards after the catch. This guy, he broke 20 tackles last year for Iowa. Since PFF have been grading that metric the last 9 years, that's the fifth highest for the tight end position. Iowa have produced, look at the tight ends they've produced that are playing in the NFL. George Kittle, TJ Hockenson, Noah Fant. This is a school that knows how to produce NFL tight ends. Sam Laporta's got the tape and he's got the measurables of an NFL tight end. And, you know, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have been saying it. We need to get weapons on offense. We need to get Josh another weapon. They've not said we need to get another wide receiver. We need to get a slot wide receiver. Sam Laporta can be that guy. And another bonus, if he hits, if he becomes that safety blanket, that slot receiver for Josh, if when it comes time to pay him, tight ends don't get paid like wide receivers.
Yeah.
For me, with Josh Downs on the board, with Keoni Benton not being on the board, I was happy with Sam Laporta, the 59th overall pick.
Yeah, and we also know that the Brian Daboll, obviously he's led this offensive playbook is based around what he brought over to it, and what Dorsey wants to try and do is get more tight ends involved in it. And obviously you've got Dawson Knox, a solid, not spectacular tight end on there, but getting someone like Laporta, yeah, I can see the upside on there. I mean, is it I'm going to nitpick. So it's this defender draft situation on there. The fact that you've got two tight ends, one, both that can play out wide, both can catch and all that, but it's the run blocking and the blocking that needs improving on. And that's not one of Laporta's strengths as such. When they do the blocking, they're not really going to go for tight end blocking. They may just bring in an extra guy in, like an extra O-lineman in.
Like what we did with Bobby Hart, we used him as a tight end and just to bring in an extra blocker. And look, Sam Laporta, he's not George Kittle. He's not going to pancake people into the floor, but he's not awful. You know, it's not Mike Gesicki either. It's not to the point where you go, this guy can't block. It's not pretty, and he doesn't always get the job done. But I would say he's average, maybe slightly below average, but again, not egregiously bad. And that won't be his main role, you know. If that's what I was looking for more so, Darnell Washington might have been the pick. But I wanted a guy that could become that underneath possession receiver almost for Josh. And like I said, Josh Downs wasn't there, Zay Flowers wasn't there in the first. I feel like we get a good value at Sam Laporta here at 59. Feel like he can do that job for us. Like you say, Ken Dorsey wants to try and implement a little bit more tight ends into the offense, a little bit more 12. This gives him a great opportunity with Sam Laporta.
Yeah. So we now move on to round three. And if I'm looking at this correctly, you did a trade. You gave us DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, little trade. So we'll pick 91. And I looked at the board and there was nothing that jumped out to me as a, you know, got to have him in the third. I looked at trades, you know, teams that are interested on the PFF mock draft simulator, and the Cardinals were there. So I thought, you know, they're only five picks back. Let me see if I can swap picks in the third round, give them a third in 2024 and see if that's enough to get DeAndre Hopkins. And alas, it was. Now, I know there's been a lot of rumours that they're going to release Hopkins or you know, they want a second round pick or they're going to release him. Well, there is a middle ground between those two options. You know, and especially if we have them you know, in this situation, the Cardinals wanted to trade up for a specific player. That gives us a little bit of leverage. And then I think a third round pick, with the understanding that Arizona would have to take on some of the salary. And to get a third round pick for a 30-year-old receiver that one doesn't want to be there and has been, you know, not his best self the last couple of seasons, is, I think, is fair to say. I think it's a good deal for Arizona, and I think it gives us another weapon. And now you start to look, okay, we didn't take an offensive weapon at 27 overall, but you start to look at the offense after three rounds, and you've added DeAndre Hopkins and Sam Laporta to this offense. We've got Gabe Davis and DeAndre Hopkins that can go out wide. Diggs can play in the slot or out wide. You've got Sam Laporta that can play in the slot. Gives us two receiving tight ends when you pair him with Dawson Knox. All of a sudden, Allen's weapons are looking a little bit more what you would expect from a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So with that in mind, you drop down five places down to 96 and picked up edge rusher from Bowling Green, Carl Brooks.
Yeah. I'm not sure if a lot of people are going to be familiar with Carl Brooks. Bowling Green, not exactly the biggest school. They weren't on BT Sport very often this past season. It says edge. That's what he's listed as, and I think he can play on the edge, but he's 6'3", 300 pounds. For me, this is a three tech. This is a guy that you can move inside. He can still win on the edge, and he's not just a big ball rusher. He shows some moves. He can string some moves together from the edge. But I like his fit coming inside. Let's put a little bit of weight on him and get him working on the interior. But I like that versatility a lot. You know, you look at Sean McDermott's going to take over play calling on the defense. It was interesting, Ron Rivera a little while ago was talking about Sean McDermott and how aggressive he was when he was the defensive coordinator at Carolina. I know us as Bills fans, we want a little bit more aggression from the defense and not so much that structured zone that tends to get abused on third and long. Having that versatility of a Carl Brooks, you add that to Greg Rousseau, who we saw sort of come inside and rush in the interior last year as well. Having that versatility of two guys that can rush from the edge or rush from the interior is I think it could be fun. Sean McDermott can have some fun with that on the defense. He needs refinement. You know, he's at Bowling Green. He's not at Ohio State. He's not at Alabama. He's not at Georgia. He's not at a big school. And the level of competition is definitely not NFL caliber week in, week out, rep in, rep out. But he's a guy that good size, has flashed some really good stuff on tape. Has that versatility. I think in the third round, you know, getting him, you know, borderline top 100 pick, I think that's where he goes off the board, whether it's to the Bills or not. You've also got to consider, we've got no defensive tackles under contract in 2024.
Yeah.
At the moment. This is a guy
There's no other defensive tackle round that spot that really intrigued you. I do like the fact that he's got the versatility on there to go out and in. And we know that previous picks on defensive line, but obviously Rousseau, Boogie Basham as well, being able to play outside and inside to give that extra pressure and make sure this defense, this offensive line, don't know who they're going to pick. But there was no other defensive tackle at all really worthy, or is it just the fact that we've got a guy that can play edge and play inside that really sealed the deal, so to speak?
There was a couple of guys that I looked at. I did look at, once I got to pick 96 and had a look who was on the board, and there was no one that jumped out at me that I thought, that's a talent regardless of position that we have to have. So then I started to have a look at positions of needs. Had a look at on the defensive line, and there were some guys there. His name escapes me, the three tech from Wake Forest who looks really good on tape, but he's small. And, you know, I know that Ed Oliver is a guy that a lot of Bills fans aren't sure about. You know, has that experiment really worked as a top 10 pick? People say he's too small. And I just thought, we've been there, we've done that. And regardless of if Ed Oliver breaks out next year and we sign into a long-term deal or we let him go, I think maybe let's step away from those really undersized three techs. And then after that, there were a couple of one tech guys, you know, two down run stuffers that I thought that good players, that is something that we're going to need. But I'm looking a little bit later in the draft for a two down one tech, two down nose. So that, you know, I thought nice players, but not really where I'm looking value. We're in the third round still. I want a guy that can affect affect the quarterback, and you know, pick up some sacks. And I love that versatility. And I started to get in my head moving him and Groot around on that D line, and I got a little bit excited. So yeah, Carl Brooks says edge. I like him more as a three tech for us.
Yeah. So then we hit round four, and I believe we've got the Mitch Morse heir in. Jesus Christ, I hate.
Do you want me to give it a go?
No, I'll give it a go first. Yeah.
Olesigun Olowotami.
There we go.
I don't know if it's right, but we're going with it.
You've got him at 130, and as I say, we need a Mitch Morse heir on there, so I can't really. I don't think there's really that much to complain about on that side of it, because we all know that Mitch Morse has his injury concerns with concussions and all that. And really, you're looking at it, he's the best of the bunch of the guys left over.
Yeah, that's what it was with this pick. You know, guys like Joe Tippmann or JMS, they were long gone. They're long off the board. And I don't think it's pressing enough need for us to take a centre in the first two rounds. But I thought this value in the fourth, like, this is a guy that didn't have one sack allowed last year at Michigan. He's been on that offensive line, in the middle of that Michigan offensive line for a long time. He's a smart and experienced guy. And look, he might be the guy that replaces Mitch Morse down the line. He might be the heir apparent. But what it gives us that excites me more for this season, I think he's plug and play. I think he's a guy that could start at centre in the NFL as a rookie. He won't have to do that for us. If Mitch Morse goes down, we know he's had concussion problems. You know, he's not a guy that plays 16, 17 games every year, typically. If he goes down, this gives us a plug-and-play center. We don't have to start moving guards around and disturbing the rest of the offensive line and disturbing the rest of Josh's protection. It's a straight slide in, slide out. You know, and look, you're not going to expect Mitch Morse. Mitch Morse's one of the best centers in the NFL and has been for a long time. Yeah. He isn't this, but he's steady, he's stable, he's going to do us a job. And I think in the fourth round, is it worth having our season throughout by Mitch Morse getting a concussion and being out for 5 weeks when you can just spend a fourth round pick on someone that can come in and do a job? For me, no. And this is a center only. This isn't a guy I want to see playing guard. I know that we typically like versatility on the offensive line, but for me, just get a guy that knows how to snap the football and knows how to protect from that center spot. And I thought it was good value here at pick 130.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, obviously, at the moment that the backups are Ryan Bates and potentially Ike Botka on there, but they're more guard with centre flexibility. And yeah, everyone wants to find that Eric Wood type guy, a guy that can play guard and then switch into centre. But obviously, what people don't know is it's a lot different to being a guard to being a center, because a center, obviously, you're listening to what the quarterback is actually saying and trying to point out the protection. You're communicating for that whole line. And if you've got someone that will start playing guard and go to center and then back again, you're really losing, well, I don't know what the best word to say, skill set, because they're trying to learn one thing. They've learned one thing from the time as guard, and now having to almost start fresh at center, learning more about the calls and finding the pressure and all that. So I definitely think that a standout and a center only prospect is probably the best way to go, especially with Morse's history.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the thinking with this pick. Let's get us a guy that, you know, the whole O-line doesn't get derailed because Mitch Morse is out for 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it may be. And look, hopefully we can draft him in the fourth round and we don't have to see him all season. That'd be great because Mitch Morse is able to stay healthy. But let's plan for worst case scenario and try and stay as competitive as possible, you know, outside of Josh going down. Let's try and build a team that has depth and solid depth across the board.
Yeah. So round five, 137, you've got an offensive line again. You've gone with, out of Utah, you've gone with Braylon Daniels. PFF line have him as a tackle. I feel that he can probably slip in easier at guard.
Yeah.
But again, you've got you got versatility on there. But I think looking at it and what most people are saying is that he's going to be more of a guard in there, but you've got a really athletic guy in there and he will be able to do, and I know they like to play the pin and pull type run games where you get the guard out and in front of the running back, and he is a prospect that can be developed in round five and actually sit behind Ryan Bates, Connor McGovern and all that, and then be that plug guy if anything, God forbid, actually happens to any of the guards ahead of them.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly my thinking. I don't expect Braydon Daniels to come in and start as a fifth round rookie, but you know, he tested really well. He's an athletic guy. The problem with him is that he's sub 300 pounds. He's light. But this is a guy that when you put the tape on and when you see his play on the field, if he was 300 pounds, 310 pounds, he'd be a day two pick. He'd be going in the third round. He's not, but there's no reason why he can't, as a backup next year, put him on that NFL diet, get him mixing his protein shakes with Ben and Jerry's. Let's get him up to 300 pounds, 300 plus pounds, and see what he can do as a potential starter in 24, 25.
Yeah.
When a guy's got those athleticism scores and it shows on tape, great explosiveness. He knows that he's not the biggest boy, and he really gets into the defender's chest quickly, and it's explosive. And if he hits that, if that correlates to the NFL, you know, you've got to win your rep, and you win your rep early. If he can do that at the NFL level with a few more pounds on him and he starts playing at 300, 305, you're looking at an absolute steal, in my opinion, in round five. I want to see what Aaron Cromer can do with a guy like Braydon Daniels. And I think this value. For me, it was between him and Israel Abanikanda here. I was close to Abanikanda. The only thing is, for me, I don't think PFF are quite up to date. I think Abanikanda is going to go a lot earlier than round five after the way he tested at the pro day. And when you put the tape on, he's a stud. I don't think he's going to be there in round five. I think Braydon Daniels might be.
Yeah, no, that's complete. And I say he's one of the guys that I really, really like, Abanikanda. And say could be a great weapon in the future and a good backup. But that he was not on the. I assume he was not on the board to take that pick. And we went with Daniels.
Daniels instead, yeah.
So we go on to your last pick. We flip back onto the defensive line. And it's a guy that I've just started looking at a bit more and feel that for his weight and size, 6'5", 337 pounds, he is pretty much a roadblock. Western Kentucky, you've got Broderick Martin.
Yeah, he's a guy I really like as a late round pick, and if we could get him here in round six, just outside the top 200 picks, I'd be very, very happy. Like you said, 6'5", 330, he's a big boy. You put the tape on, and he just when he gets into the offensive lineman, he is ragdolling people. Which, you know, 6'5", 330, that's what you expect, but it's good to see on tape. And it's look, he's going to be what, like I mentioned earlier. He is going to be that two down nose or that two down one tech run stuff in defensive lineman. This is where I'm comfortable taking a guy like that, you know, late fifth round, early sixth round, something like that. Every defense needs them. They're not pretty, but they do a job. And like I mentioned before, we haven't got any defensive tackles under contract in 2024. This draft gives us two. So no matter what, even if we don't sign Ed Oliver and everybody else goes, we have a three tech and a one tech under contract for next year by these two rookie picks. I just think, and that's so valuable for us, a team that likes to rotate on the defensive line. This gives us, I wouldn't expect to see a lot of Broderick Martin this year, you know, unless there's injuries. But he's a guy that you get him in the rotation a little bit this year with the plan to have him as a, you know, a piece that sees the field a little bit more often in 2024 and onwards. But yeah, he's a guy that doesn't offer much as a pass rusher, but in the run game can just stuff it. Can just stuff it. And if teams can't run against us, they're forced to throw. Speeds the game up, gets the ball in Josh's hands a lot quicker.
Yeah, and you've got him learning behind Jordan Phillips, who's just re-signed. You've got Daquan Jones, Tim Settle, guys there to actually to lean on. And yeah, I think as much as people want to go and splash, say, the splash pitch, you want wide receiver, we need linebacker, we need edge and all that. Most people probably in the Bills Mafia in a circle will actually class, and I do, defensive tackle as that need, as that sneaky need. And as we say, they won't have anyone under contract next year as a defensive tackle. So this is actually loading it up and actually building for the future. So yeah, he's one of my picks that I really do. I'm actually starting to like a little bit more once I put a few more tapes on him. And he's an athletic 337 pound defensive tackle against who we're going to be facing running back wise this year. Really is going to be good in that middle, even if it is a case that he would be seed just for runs and obviously when McDermott wants to rotate it.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect use for him, especially as a rookie. You know, just get him in on those obvious rundowns or those early downs, and let him stuff up the middle, let him learn slowly behind, you know guys that you mentioned, guys like Jordan Phillips is a perfect guy for Broderick Martin to learn behind, in my opinion. I don't know how much longer Phillips has as an NFL player with those injuries. I love Jordan Phillips. I think he represents the best of what a Buffalo Bills player should be. And I think Broderick Martin could be his heir apparent, which, you know, saying someone is Jordan Phillips' heir apparent might not be seen as a massive compliment, but that's an important piece in any NFL defense. And I think Broderick Martin could be that. And to pick up a guy like that in round six that you would look at as a potential contributor from 2024 onwards in the sixth round, I'm happy with that. Look, I hear what you're saying about wide receiver. There was a lot of wide receivers on my list of guys that I wanted. You know, I had, like I said, Zay Flowers in the first, Josh Downs in the second, Cedric Tillman in the third, Jaden Reed in the fourth, Jonathan Mingo in the fifth. By the time we got to our picks, they're all gone. Tillman wasn't there at 91, and then I was like, right, I'm going to get Nook. I'm going to get D-Hop. I've had enough of this.
That's fair. I mean, as I say, everyone has their own crushes. Everyone has their own opinions, and I'm glad you actually came on the show, defend your draft. I'm going to put that out. When this episode goes out, it's going to be a poll on the Twitter page. Want to get the listeners' views. I want to see them ask you any questions, if they have any, and see what they think of it. So once this is up, I will post the draft on there, get a poll going, and see if the Bills Mafia love or hate your draft. But Billy, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for defending your draft. And if anyone else wants to come on and defend your draft, just drop me a message at UK_Bills. And we'll get you on the show. But Billy, thank you very much for joining, and for everyone, thank you for listening. And let's go Buffalo Bills!
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three, one, two, three.